staffs had very wonderful reciprocations with all the cows of Vrindavan and gopis of Vrindavan. And even Balaramji also could not realize that they are all Krishna's. So he was bewildered by Krishna's potency. Bewilderment means basically it was kept secret in front of Balaramji also, because unless Balaramji is unaware of these things, he cannot experience the joy that he was experiencing in his relation with all these gopas. And here is a maya that increases the prema of all the devotees. So it cannot be demoniac maya. It is pure spiritual. Right? So Balaramji was completely surprised. We have seen in the 37th verse, he was saying, Keyam va kuta ayata. So what kind of maya is this? Kuta ayata. Where has it come from? Is it daivi ya asuri? Is it maya by some gandharvis or some demigods? Or is it the maya of some rakshasas or some demoniac forces? So, like that he was thinking. So Balaramji was also thinking, are these demons like Kamsa and others, they are unable to kill Krishna, because so far Kamsa had sent so many demons. So Balaramji was aware of it. So Kamsa being unable to kill the demons, so is he playing some trick? All the demonic associates of Kamsa, did they disguise themselves in the form of these calves and boys and having some interactions with the Vrajavasis? So is it like that? So you are suspecting. And or is it the work of some demoniac woman? Because Kamsa only had sent Putana, right, a demoness, to kill Krishna. Similarly, Kamsa must have sent more women, right, to manifest this maya in front of Krishna, to diminish the glory of Krishna by destroying their love for him in Vraja through increasing the love for their sons to the same degree. So what kind of maya is this? The effect of this maya is that the Vrajavasis' love towards their own sons is increasing as if they were Krishna's. That was the maya, basically. And that is totally unprecedented. It's uncommon in Vrindavan. So by diverting Vrajavasis' prema from Krishna towards their own sons, are the demons planning some conspiracy? That was Balaramji's doubt. So, just like Putana previously came. So, Putana came and said that Yashodamayi and Rohini, so they were taking care of baby Krishna nicely. But as soon as Putana came, they thought that she can take care of her baby much better than what we can do. They became spontaneously convinced of it. A strange woman, a stranger, is coming inside the room and entering the inner chambers of the house and then picking up the infant 6 days old baby and started feeding her own milk. So which mother would allow it? So because of the shakti of Krishna, internal potency of Krishna, all the Vrajavasis were made to believe that Putana can take care of Krishna much better than Yashoda and Rohini also. That's why they themselves also allowed Putana to go inside. No one suspected Putana's intention. Right? So something similar Balaramji was expecting. So all these demons are trying to divert Vrajavasis' attention from Krishna towards their own sons. Like that. Or is it because of the illusion of some devatas? Did the devatas or some sages, devatas like Brahma and Shiva, or sages like Narada Muni, etc., did they come in disguise to have reciprocation with Krishna? Right? So that was his another doubt. Greedy for the pastimes with Krishna, they have made the calves and boys disappear and they have taken their places so that they can interact with Krishna. Did they do like that? Narada Muni and other demigods like Brahma and Shiva. So these were some suspicions of our Balaramji. Now let's see what he says. So closing his eyes, he was thinking like this. Iti sanchintya dasharho
iti sanchintya dasharho
vatsan savayasanapi
vatsan savayasanapi
सर्वान् आचष्ट वैकुण्ठम् चक्षुषा वयुनेन सह.
Thinking in this way, Lord Balaram was able to see with the eye of transcendental knowledge that all these cows and Krishna's friends were expansions of the form of Shri Krishna.
See, Balaramji was able to understand. Balaramji was able to see. Able to see means Krishna gave him that vision out of mercy. So till now, Balaramji did not have that vision. If he has the ability to see, he would have seen 1 year back only, at least 6 months back, at least 3 months back. Why he had to wait for one full year? So far he did not have Krishna's sanction. And that too Krishna's sanction, why Krishna did not allow Balaramji also to see this? Only out of affection for Balaramji. Because Balaramji cannot tolerate separation from all these gopas. So to protect him also from feelings of separation, Krishna gave him, gave Balaramji also the feeling of associating with all these gopas. So now, our Balaramji is having a different vision. What vision was that? He saw all the gopas were actually decorated with flute, stick, peacock feathers, and even Bhrigu's footprint on their chests. That means Krishna only. And necklaces, flowers, gunjamala, lotus, they were all more handsome than millions of cupids. Kandarpa koti kamaniya visesha shobham. Kandarpa darpa harasundara divya murte. So like that Krishna is often compared to Cupid or the combination of millions of cupids. Right? So all these boys are Krishna's only. That was revealed to Balaramji at this point. Right? So every individual was different. There are even differences between twin brothers. So Krishna replicated all those differences so wonderfully, so meticulously, that even Balaramji also could not notice. But now, so far he has been seeing diversity, variety. Now he is seeing unity amongst all of them. That is unity in diversity. All of them are Krishna's, but Krishna can manifest variety. So although the Supreme Lord is one, he can manifest unlimited variety. That is exhibited in this pastime, unity in diversity. So, 39th verse. Naite Suresha Rishayo Nachaite Tvameva Bhashisha Bhidashriyepi Sarvam Pruthaktvam Nigamat Katham Vadet Uktena Vrittam Prabhuna Balovat.
Lord Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great demigods as I previously thought, nor are these cows great sages like Narada.
So Balaramji was contemplating who could be these boys, seeing this unprecedented affection between all the gopas and their sons. He was contemplating, he was finding out various options. He brings out one option from his mind and evaluates it, analyzes it from various angles, and then rejects it. Okay, this cannot be the option. So there are multiple choice questions, right? A, B, C, D. You don't know the answer. You have to really figure out, okay, this cannot be the answer. Okay, this cannot be the answer. So by elimination, he's trying to reject various options and finally came to one option. So he rejected the option of there being the demigods. Then he rejected the option of there being the sages like Narada Muni. Next.
Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of difference. Although one, you are existing in the different forms of the cows and boys. Please briefly explain this to me. Having thus been requested by Lord Baldev, Krishna explained the whole situation and Baldev understood it.
When he asked Krishna, Balaramji understood. So even Balaramji, although he detected that they are not the voice, original voice, still he had to be told by Krishna to completely understand the pastime. So finally Krishna had to reveal the whole thing. And also, one acharya comments that Balaramji did not want Krishna to explain this very elaborately, because by explaining so elaborately, Krishna might get tired. That was the reason they gave. So that's why, without using so many words only, things were revealed to Balramji. So Krishna spoke in very brief manner, like that. So Balramji understood the whole situation. So this was not the Maya, but Krishna's opulence. So ekam bahusyam, the Lord can expand himself into many thousands and millions, but still remain one. In that sense, everything is spiritual, because everything is an emanation from all spiritual Lord, Krishna. So everything is spiritual. Because the potency is non-different from the potency and the potent are one, in that sense. All these boys are Krishna, and they are not Krishna also. Right? Similarly, everything that we see in the universe is also Krishna, but it is not Krishna also. Right? It is Krishna because it is the potency of Krishna. So there is no meaning to the potent person without the existence of potency. And there is no existence for the potency without a potent person. Thus, potency and potent person, they simultaneously exist. Thus, they cannot be separated. They are one and the same. At the same time, they can exist separately. Lord will manifest his potency, right? Lord will manifest his expansion that will function on its own by the potency invested by Krishna, and Krishna can do his own activity also. So thus, there is always oneness, and simultaneously there is difference also between the potency and potent. So Krishna can play with them also. Krishna can play with all these potencies like that. So Prabhupada gives this point. Bhumi rapo analo vayu kammano buddhi revacha, all this. So spirit and matter cannot be made one, for actually they are superior and inferior energies. So this simultaneous oneness and difference is the explanation given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is achintya bheda bheda tattva. For example, fire and heat cannot be separated. For where there is fire, there is heat also. Similarly, Krishna and his expansions cannot be separated. At the same time, we cannot touch fire, but heat of the fire we can tolerate. Right? So we can experience heat. When it is winter, you go near the fire, so you can get exposed to the heat, but you can never touch fire. That means fire and heat are different. Heat, you can take it. Fire, you cannot take. Similarly, Lord and his energies are simultaneously one and different. Right? So heat and fire cannot be separated. In that sense, they are one. But still, if they are one, if you are able to touch heat, you can touch fire also. So they are not one. They are separate also. Similarly, Lord and his expansions are one. Lord and the universe are one. At the same time, they are different also. You can see the universe, you can't see the Lord. But Lord and universe are one also. Right? So these are certain things. For example, a mother is there. She is little irritated by the child's mischief and then slaps the child. So is it mother? How can mother slap a child? Mother loves the child, right? But mother slaps the child also sometimes if he is naughty. But the same mother would hug the child also, and then kiss the child also, and caress the child also, feel the child also. She expresses her love and affection towards the child also, right? So the original mood of the mother is love and affection towards the child, but sometimes she exhibits anger also. Similarly, originally the Lord is spiritual, but for some specific purposes, he even manifests this material world also, right? So that the conditioned souls can get a certain kind of flavor. Otherwise, one may question, how can the Lord manifest this material world which is full of miseries? This cannot be Lord's creation. Or Lord is not there only. There is no one called God. Like that, people may give different kinds of arguments. But just like mother can manifest anger towards the child, similarly Lord can manifest material universe also. Just like anger of mother is not palatable to the child as much as the embrace of mother, similarly material world is not comfortable to the soul as much as spiritual world is. That doesn't mean material world is false. Material world is true, but it is a temporary manifestation of the Lord's energy. just like anger or slap is a temporary manifestation of mother. Mother is temporarily scolding the child. It's not her permanent mood. Right? And when mother slaps the child also, she is mother only. When mother loves the child also, she is mother only. Right? Both are mother. So that's how we need to understand the simultaneous oneness and difference. So when she slaps the child, if you say she is not mother, it's valid also. It's valid in the sense that that is not mother's innate mood. Mother never envies the child or hates the child. Similarly, when you reject the material world, that's valid also in one sense, that it is not the real way that Krishna wants to treat us. Krishna wants to love us, right? Krishna doesn't want us to be in a place which is temporarily manifested and unmanifested. He wants us to be in a place which is eternally present, right? So that way we can say this material world, we are not interested in this material world. We don't want this material world. We want to go to the spiritual world. That is also valid, right? So we need to understand this. Whatever is little not clear in this explanation, Achintya word is there. Right? That's why Bheda and Abheda, they didn't just explain Bheda and Abheda. Mahaprabhu very specifically added Achintya. So when you are discussing Bheda, it makes sense. When you are discussing Abheda, it also makes sense. But when you try to reconcile both, there is something not very clear. That is Achintya. Right? That's what our philosophy is. We need to appreciate this Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. Right? Then, unless we accept the inconceivable potency of the Lord, we cannot take it. For example, a drama artist, Prabhupada gives this example in the third canto. A drama artist becomes a cow, right? Or a movie hero, Rajinikanth becomes a king, right, in the movie. So is the king Rajinikanth? Yes, of course. But is Rajinikanth king? No, he is just an actor. He'll just take money and then put any kind of attire, and then for 3 hours he'll make a show in the screen, and then after that he has his normal attire. He has his regular hairstyle, right? Right? He has regular complexion. Everything he has, that is separate. But he manifests a different attire in the movie, temporarily, right? So, by seeing the king in the screen, if you call him Rajinikanth, it's not wrong. If you say he is not Rajinikanth, that is also not wrong. Right? Both are correct. He is Rajinikanth? Yes. Correct. He is not Rajinikanth? That is also correct. That is simultaneous oneness and difference between that character, whatever you are seeing on the screen, and the reality. But it's just screen only. You just, of course, I should not be saying this. There could be so many fans also. If you just pass a comment on him, then all his fans will comment. They may kill also. Right? So Abhishek happens to him in South India. So now, as Krishna and Balram were discussing like this, Brahmaji came there. The main hero of the episode manifested there. Tavad etyatma bhur atma manena trutyane hasa purovad abdham kridantam dadrishe sakalam harim.
When Lord Brahma returned after a moment of time had passed according to his own measurement, he saw that although by human measurement a complete year had passed, Lord Krishna after all that time was engaged just as before in playing with the boys and cows who were his expansions.
So Brahmaji, although he got this slight itch or inclination to test Krishna, you see Krishna, how can he eat jhuta of all these boys? How can he eat such wretched food? He was thinking like that. So let me test. So for a moment he was overwhelmed with pride of being the creator. Momentarily. And that too by the influence of Lord's potency. Right? We cannot minimize the position of Brahma. As I said. So, but he understood that I am playing with fire. Although he stole the boys, within an eye blink he came back. That has become 1 year here. So he just came within a moment only. So that has become 1 year, according to human calculation. According to his calculation, it is only one moment. Right? So it was a momentary mistake done by Brahmas, not a long-term mistake. So Brahma came back to see the fun caused by his stealing, but he was also afraid that he was playing with fire. He was really anxious, so he did not stay away for very long. So if he is very confident, then he would have stayed for one day or at least a couple of hours of Brahma. But he came back immediately. So on the day when Lord Brahma had first come, Baldev could not go with Krishna, for that was his birthday. We already discussed this. Next, 41st verse. Yavanto gokule balaha savatsaha sarva evahi mayashaye shayaname nadyapi punaruthitaha.
Lord Brahma thought, whatever boys and cows there were in Gokul, I have kept them sleeping on the bed of my mystic potency. And to this day, to this very day, they have not yet risen again.
So Brahmaji, at least this much was confident on the part of Brahmaji, that he has stolen the boys and kept them at some place where they were just sleeping by the bewilderment of, by the illusory potency of Brahmaji. That's what he was thinking. But they were sleeping by the illusory potency of Krishna. Right? Krishna employed a separate Shakti. Otherwise, how could Brahma have an influence on the Gopas, eternal associates of Krishna? So Brahmaji's stealing them is sanctioned by Krishna in one sense. And even Prabhupada goes to the extent of saying that he did not steal. Just like Ravana stole Maya Sita, Brahmaji did not steal the actual boys. So the sense conveyed there is, although he stole the boys, that is happening with Krishna's sanction. It is not Brahmaji's bewildering potency that bewildered these boys or made them sleep. It is Krishna's sanction and Krishna's illusory potency that made the boys sleep. On the day when Lord Brahma had first come, so here Brahmaji started thinking, where are these boys? Maybe I took those calves and cowherd boys away, but now they have been taken from that cave again. So I have kept them there. Maybe Krishna has stolen back. He was thinking like that. He went and saw there. They were still there. Then these people are also there. So he could see two sets of boys. As soon as Brahmaji came there, he was able to see all these boys playing with Krishna. But he was thinking that, oh, these boys who are playing with Krishna must have been taken away from my hideout by Krishna. Then he went and checked there. But they were also there. These people are also there. So who are they? So he was like very confused. So has Krishna brought them back here? So he was analyzing like that. Just like Balramji was so far analyzing who could be these boys. So now Brahmaji started analyzing. How could these boys come here? So now, after some time, he was convinced that there are two sets of boys. But all of them are exactly looking similar. Ita etetra kautar kutratya manmaya mohitetare tavanta evatarabham tatrabham kridanto vishnunasamam.
A similar number of boys and cows have been playing with Krishna for one whole year, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from?
So he was also considering that, am I seeing some illusion? If the original set of boys are there, the boys whom am I seeing, is it a dream or is it an illusion? Or someone is creating some kind of a magic spell upon me so that I am perceiving them although they are not there? So he was thinking like that. So Brahmaji was thoroughly bewildered. That's why it is called Vimohana. So without touching the original cows and original boys kept by Brahma, Krishna had created another assembly of calves and boys who were all expansions of Vishnu Tattva. Then Brahmaji's mystic power was superseded. So one may be proud of one's yogic potency, but however powerful one may be, he can never surpass Krishna. So Prabhupada mentions this kind of comments several times when Krishna is fighting with some demons, especially in Trinavarta episode, Prabhupada writes. So Trinavarta has the mystic potency of anima, mahima, laghima, all this. Right? He became light. Right? So he became whirlwind. We can't weigh wind. Right? How much heavy it is. Right? When it blows only heavily, then you can understand, okay, it can collapse a tree also. But Trinavarta had this siddhis, all siddhis. But Krishna is the master of all siddhis. No one can surpass Krishna in exhibiting siddhis. Right? All these demons are definitely having so many siddhis, but no one can surpass Krishna. So Krishna, when he became heavier than the heaviest, first when Trinavarta picked him up, Krishna became as light as feather. Just like when wind comes, all the feathers and then leaves and other things, they just go. So birds' feathers just fall here. When wind comes, the feathers are lifted. Right, when so much wind comes, sometimes that feather will come and stick in your head also, right? You must have experienced, right? So like that, Krishna was flying in whirlwind created by Trinavarta, just like a feather flies in wind. But after he went 800,000 miles high, then Krishna became as high as a mountain peak. So Krishna exhibited this anima, the mahima and laghima, the siddhis, becoming heavier than the heaviest and lighter than the lightest, to the maximum possible extent that no one could replicate. That he could easily surpass Trinavarta. Trinavarta could not actually handle it. So the mystic power of Brahmaji was also superseded now. So what to speak of Trinavarta? He can surpass even Brahmaji also. Brahmaji is the topmost mystic personality in the entire universe. So his mystic power could not stand in front of Krishna. Right, so that means Krishna surpassed the topmost person in the universe. That means he surpassed everybody in the universe. Like that, he surpasses everybody in all universes. So that's why he is called Vidhur Jayati. Akhila Rasamrita Murti Prasmada Ruchiruddhatara Kapalihi Kalita Shyama Lalito Radha Prayan Vidhur Jayati. No one can surpass Krishna in excellence. This is the first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Vidhur Jayati. Now, he writes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, after meditating for some time, Brahma then thought, I will use my power of omniscience to understand this. But even then, after a long time in Samadhi, Brahma could not understand. Who are these boys? Let me just figure out. So Brahmaji tried his best to figure out who are these boys. So now it was clear to him that there are definitely two sets of boys. But what is not revealed to him yet is, who is the second set of boys? Right? So that he is trying to figure out by his omniscience. Of the two groups, which is the satya, which is the real group, that he is trying to figure out. Evam eteshu bhedeshu chitram dhyatva cha atma bhuhu satyah ke katare neti ज्ञातुं नेष्टे कथांचन.
Thus Lord Brahma, thinking and thinking for a long time, tried to distinguish between those two sets of boys, who were each separately existing. He tried to understand who was real and who was not real, but he couldn't understand at all.
So he was also thinking, are these boys and calves created by Krishna? Are those boys and calves who were lying in sleep, they were created by Krishna? So now he could also try to understand that definitely these people were manifested by Krishna. But who are actually Krishna's manifestation? These boys or those boys? These calves or those calves? That was his dilemma now. 44th verse. Evam sammohayan Vishnum
Vimoham
Vishvamohanam Svayaiva
mayaya
jopi Svayam eva vimohitaha. This is a very key verse in this episode. Read.
Thus, because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who, on the contrary, mystifies the entire universe, he himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power.
Very mystic verse. Evam sammohayan Vishnu. So in this way, he wanted to mystify Vishnu, who is all pervading. Sammohayan Vishnu. Then what happened to him? Vimoham Vishwamohanam. Who is that Vishnu? He can bewilder entire universe. Right? He wanted to bewilder or he wanted to mystify that personality who can mystify entire creation. Then Svayaiva Mayaya Jopi. So by his he himself was mystified. Brahma himself was mystified. Mayaya Ajopi. Aja. Aja here is Lord Brahma. Ajopi. Although he is unborn. Unborn in the sense that he doesn't have a material father and mother. So, Svayam Eva Vimohitaha. He himself got bewildered. So that's why this Vimoha word is coming multiple times. So, if one uses one's energies against Krishna, that causes bewilderment. But if one utilizes the same energies in service of Krishna, instead of causing bewilderment, that causes spiritual jubilation, advancement, right? A lot of joy is there. If one is able to engage one's powers or skills or whatever is there at his disposal in Krishna's service, one's heart is filled with satisfaction. But if he uses the same energies against Krishna's interests, then there is bewilderment. Because in one case there is arrogance, in the other case there is love and affection and service attitude. So the more we have the inclination to utilize our energies and skills and whatever we have at our disposal in selflessly rendering service to Krishna and Guru, the more we are satisfied. Ye atma suprasidati. The atma is satisfied only when one performs devotional service without any motivations, without any interruptions. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, how are we supposed to conduct ourselves is revealed. Every single living entity is looking forward for satisfaction. We need happiness. We need satisfaction. The formula is very simply given right in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. You are looking for suprasidati, complete satisfaction, not just satisfaction. Prasidati is satisfaction or pleasure. Suprasidati means complete satisfaction of atma, self, is possible if one engages in service of Krishna without any interruptions, without any selfish agendas, motivations. Right? So that is the point. So here Brahmaji is utilizing his energies against the interests of Krishna. He is not utilizing for the service of Krishna. So instead of getting satisfaction in service, he is getting bewilderment in his attempts to bewilder Krishna. So Brahmaji was defeated by his own attempt. So next verse is also very important. Now we will see. But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. The challenging attitude will lead to implication in suffering. Service attitude will lead to eternal engagement in Krishna's service and eternal satisfaction and bliss. So challenging attitude will implicate one in suffering, including Brahmaji. Oh, Brahmaji can challenge. Maybe ordinary people in other conditioned souls in the earthly planet, they may not be able to challenge, but Brahma can challenge at least. At least that much is there. No one can challenge Krishna. Everyone has to accept subordination in front of Krishna. And Krishna doesn't do this in the mood of a controller. Technically, he is a controller, but his desire is not to control. He doesn't experience so much happiness in controlling people in comparison to his experience of being controlled by his beloved devotees who are dependent on him. So if you want to control Krishna through your energies, Krishna cannot accept it. Who are you to do that? But if you want to control with Krishna with great love and affection, then Krishna becomes subservient of that love. So everything depends on the attitude. There is a difference, slight difference. Yashodamai controls Krishna, and Brahma also wanted to test Krishna here. But there is a lot of difference. Gopis would sometimes call Krishna to test his intelligence. Right? If you show me your face, I'll give you banana. If you show me your nose, I'll give you banana. He was like a small child. He was trying to recognize what are the bodily limbs. Right? If you show me what? Show me your right hand, then he'll show this hand. Then, oh no, you are wrong. This is your right hand. Then when Krishna says, this is my right hand, then they'll give you banana. Just for that one banana, Krishna just dances like a puppet in the hands of all these gopis. Right? So that is the way of controlling Krishna. But in an arrogant way, if one is overwhelmed by his own God-given powers and then thinks that I want to control Krishna, I want to test Krishna, I want to bewilder Krishna, then he will be thoroughly bewildered. He will be implicated in suffering. So accept subordination. And the subordination is not like an imposed or, what to say, forced upon subordination. Out of love and affection, one thinks that I am subservient of Krishna. Right? My purpose of my existence is to render just service to Krishna. This is the attitude of all the gopis and gopas in Vrindavan. So the lesson here is that we should not try to overcome Krishna. Rather, instead of endeavoring to surpass him, we should surrender unto him. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Surrender unto him. That is the point. So this surrender seems to be very, you know, forceful, right, in our conditioned state. But the perception of that word surrender or sharanam actually is dependence, sheer dependence on Krishna, right? My existence is dependent on rendering service to Krishna, right? My pleasure depends on seeing Krishna pleased. So that is the surrender there, right? Not like a fearful surrender, loving surrender. So we should give up all our tiny efforts to defy the arrangement of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangements he proposes, we should accept. This is always better, for this will make us happy. The more we try to defeat the arrangement of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's maya. Couple of times Krishna is just saying, Prabhupada is saying, we will be implicated. Don't try to go against Krishna's will. Don't try to test Krishna. Don't try to prove yourself in front of Krishna. Don't try to show off that I have so many powers and so many skills and I can control. I am the proprietor, I am the master, I am the enjoyer. Don't try to show off in front of Krishna. That attitude will lead to implication. And what kind of implication? Life after life, we may have to suffer in this material existence. That kind of implication. We may be perpetually transmigrating from one body to another body, one planet to another planet, one universe to another universe in this material cosmos. Right? That kind of implication. As long as one has this showing off tendency of one's own prowess. That is coming from Krishna. Utilize them in Krishna's service. That is the message that Prabhupada gives. The power of Krishna is just like a government that cannot be overcome. Simple. Government gives all protection to an obedient citizen. King gives all protection to an obedient citizen. But for a rebellious citizen, jail is open. As long as we have this rebellious attitude, we have to remain in this jail of material creation. As long as we develop the attitude of an obedient citizen, the doors of spiritual world are open. And the process of opening the doors of spiritual world is also given in Bhagavatam. So Vishnu pervades the entire material world, whereas Brahma merely occupies one subordinate post. Yes, Seika Nishvasita Kala Matavalambhya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Nathaha Jagad Anda Nathaha. All these universes are like balls, and each universe has Natha. This Natha last word, this is plural word. It's not singular. Just like this universe has one Natha, that is Brahma, other universe also has another Natha, he is another Brahma. This fellow has four heads and the other Brahma has more heads. So like that there are so many heads. So now Prabhupada quotes one incident. Once Brahmaji went to Dwarka and he said, I want to meet Krishna. And the doorman said, which Brahma are you? Which Brahma are you? Then Brahmaji said, which Brahma? Kya? I'm the only Brahma, of course, right? How many Brahmas are there within this universe? But just to show that opulence, Brahma, Krishna called so many other Brahmas. Some 10-headed Brahma, some 20-headed Brahma came. 1,000,000-headed Brahma came. Like that, seeing so many Brahmas, this 4-headed Brahma got bewildered. Oh, so many Brahmas are there. Like that. Jagadanda Nathaha. Krishna is the Natha of all these Nathas. There are multiple Nathas. How many Nathas are there within this material world? There is no calculation. So Krishna is the Natha of all these Nathas. Aho Sanatha Bhavatasma Yadvayam Traivishtapanam Apidura Darshinam Prema Smitas Nigdha Nirikshananam Pashyema Rupam Tavasarva Sobhagam. So all the Dwarakavasis are considering Krishna as the Natha. Aho Sanatha Bhavatasma Yadvayam. So this is the bewildering pastime. So even great devotees and great souls are also sometimes bewildered by Lord's illusory potency. One example is Brahmaji that we see here. Another example is Shiva, we see in the 8th canto. He wanted to see Mohini Murti. He had some confidence, subtly he has some little confidence that I will not be bewildered by the potency. I just want to take darshan only. Because I have seen all the forms of the Lord, but I have not seen Mohini Murti form. How can I be deprived of this darshan? So I just want to take darshan. With an innocent desire, he went in front of Bhavani. But the Lord's captivating potency bewildered even Lord Shiva also. Right? And of course, that whole incident is a very sweet exchange between the Lord and his devotee, dear devotee. And it's a wonderful glorification of Shiva that Lord's external potency, which is Parvati, could not bewilder Shiva, could not captivate Shiva. Lord had to manifest his internal potency in the form of Mohini Murti to bewilder Shiva. So there is a glorification of Shiva, and it's a very sweet exchange. So but from one angle, it's a bewilderment of a great soul. If great souls can be bewildered, what to speak of us? That is the message. If Brahma can be bewildered, I have to be alert. If Shiva can be bewildered, I have to be alert. There is one Rishi called Markandeya Rishi in the 12th canto. We have studied his thing. So he is a great devotee of Naranarayan Rishi. And Naranarayan Rishi, when they came in front of Markandeya, they asked, "What do you want?" "I want to know how your illusory potency works." And Markandeya Muni had absolutely no desire to enjoy the illusory potency of the Lord. He had one little curiosity to see how it functions. Because illusory potency of the Lord just bewilders the entire creation. So how exactly it functions, he had a curiosity to understand. Just like Shiva had a curiosity to see the form of Mohini Murti. Brahma had a curiosity to test Krishna. Markandeya Rishi had a curiosity to see how illusory potency of the Lord functions. Then Lord did not appreciate this kind of curiosity. Nevertheless, because the devotee desired, Lord fulfilled that desire by creating universal dissolution. Right? So one full kalpa of 1000 Divya Yugas, Markandeya Rishi was floating in the inundation waters. Universal inundation happened. He was just doing his austerities one day in his ashram. Suddenly universal inundation happened. Within no time, he found himself in this devastation waters, swimming in the devastation waters for 1000 Divya Yugas, right? One full kalpa he was doing. At the end, he saw Vatapatra Sai, one small baby Krishna sucking his own toe on a banyan leaf. So out of curiosity, he went closer to that boy and said, "Who is this boy?" And when the Lord inhaled, so Markandeya Rishi went inside the belly of Krishna. And inside that, he has seen the entire creation chart, second canto, third canto, everything he has seen. Mahatattva, then Ahankara, then three modes, 23 elements, amalgamation, cohesive energy, Virat Rupa, everything he has seen. And when Krishna breathed out, he came out. And again, he's in inundation waters. Again, he saw Vatapatra Sai, again he was entered. So like that, seven kalpas destruction he has seen. And then after seven kalpas, and all the seven kalpas, one should not think that it is, some symbolic, or one should not think that it is allegorical, one should not think that it is You see, when something is not actually happening, exaggeration, so one should not think it's metaphorical, something like that. One should not think like that. It actually happened. Markandeya Rishi actually experienced seven naimittika pralayas, right, within one moment. That also is there. So Krishna can zip. So we have zip files, right, in our computers. Maybe 10 MB file we can zip up to 5 MB or whatever, depending on the compression capacity of the zip or the kind of compression technology that you are using. But Krishna's compression technology is unlimited. He can compress entire banyan tree into one small tiny seed. He can compress entire universe into one small seed form, which is pradhana, coming out of bodily pore of Mahavishnu. Right? he can compress 7 kalpas of inundation within one moment. He can compress one Brahmaji's night within one night of human calculation, Rasleela. So Krishna's compression capacities are unlimited. We can't imagine. So like that, Markandeya was bewildered. Here, Brahma is bewildered. There, Shiva was bewildered. So like that, through all these incidents described in Bhagavatam, we understand that even great personalities also can be subjected to bewilderment by Lord's illusory potency. So who are we? Our responsibility is to be more alert. So that's the whole point. Now, Brahmaji realized that I am no more than a mosquito in the midst of many elephants. Where is mosquito in comparison with an elephant? And here there are multiple elephants. They will manifest now. 45th verse. Tamyam tamovan niharam naiharam khadya khadyotarchir ivahani mahatitara mayaisham nihantyatmani yunjataha.
As the darkness of snow on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of great power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished.
So this is the most important verse here. Tamyam tamovan naiharam. So when the snow falls, when the fog is there, the light is not very prominent. So it creates some kind of mist and some kind of darkness. So the snowfall or fog has an ability to create darkness, right? But in the midst of night, that kind of snowfall doesn't have much effect, right? Because night can create unlimited darkness, which is unlimited in comparison to the darkness created by fog. Fog can definitely create some darkness, little darkness, but it cannot defeat night. So when the snow starts falling, thinking that I will create darkness now in the midst of night, so what effect it will have? Similarly, our mobile phones, they have this, torchlight, right? So now, after 1 hour or 1.5 hours, when it becomes night, so now this has some effect. Now, it doesn't have any effect. Now in the dark room, you just open it and you feel like just closing your eyes. That your eyes cannot bear that light only. Now you just put in your eyes, nothing happens. So it's like a glowworm's light. So a glowworm has the ability to lit the atmosphere in the middle of the night to some little extent, little portion. Right? When the glowworm is glowing, you can understand, okay, something is lit up there. But in the midst of the day, when the sun is glowing, shining, right, on top of your head, then glowworm has no effect. And if glowworm thinks that I can produce light in front of the sun, it is useless. Similarly, mahatitara mayaisham, mayaisham. So if one tries to prove oneself in front of a great personality, he will just make a laughing stock out of him. Yesterday we were discussing, right? Brahmaji was trying to measure the ocean with a yardstick. Brahmaji's attempt is compared to measuring the sky with your hand span. Right? You can measure, say, garlands. Right? Outside, if you go and buy garlands, na? So they will do like this. Okay, one hand. This is 10 rupees. This is 15 rupees. Like that, depending on the flower. So like that, you can measure a garland with a hand span. But you cannot measure the sky with a hand span. So Brahmaji is doing like that. So attempts to prove oneself or establish oneself in front of great personalities would often end up in frustration. So but attempts to serve Krishna in a mood of dependence leads to all success. Right? So one may prove oneself as a humble servant, dependent on Krishna. So how to prove that? By rendering service without any motivations and without any interruptions, right? And while rendering that service, one should constantly beg to Krishna, beg Krishna for the ability to render that service. So Krishna, please give me the ability to render this service. That's what Brahmaji began. That's how Brahmaji began his creation. Right? Third canto, ninth chapter, if you remember, Brahmaji prayed that, my dear Lord, please give me the ability to do this creation. Like that. And also, don't allow me to get deviated from the message of Vedic sound vibration in my attempts to create. And also let me not become falsely proud. Let me not be overwhelmed by false ego in my creative activities. So these were the prayers. So I don't want false pride. I don't want any deviation. And also I am dependent on Krishna for my creation. So like that Brahmaji prayed. So that is the ideal mood. But sometimes, tathapi muhyanti tavaja mayaya suvismitam krityam ajam natosmitam. What does that verse begin? Vadanti vishvam kavayasmanasvaram pasyanti chadhyatma vidho vipaschitaha. There are great souls, great preachers, and they are convinced about the futility of this material enjoyment. They can convince others also through their preaching that this material world is temporary. You have to take shelter of the Lord. So all this they can do. But tathapi, still, muhiyanti, they will get bewildered. Tava ajamayaya, by the illusory potency of aja, unborn Lord. Suvismitam, they become thoroughly captivated. Right? That is the glory of Lord's Maya. This is the prayer of residents of Jambudvipa to Lord Hayasirsha, Bhadraswavarsha, correct? So, Khadyota Archihi, the light of a glowam. So, Krishna's Maya was not diminished in value, but Brahma's Maya was condemned. Therefore, one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. Right? So, showing our learning in front of a more experienced person is like this. So, one should not think that I have the ability to impress people. So here Brahmaji fell into a whirlpool of bewilderment. It's a whirlpool of bewilderment. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, 46th verse. Tavat sarve vatsapalah.
Tavat sarve vatsapalah.
Pashyato jasya tat kshanat.
Pashyato jasya tat kshanat.
Vyadrishyanta ghanashyama.
Vyadrishyanta ghanashyama.
Pita kausheya vasasah.
Pita kausheya vasasah.
So from here onwards, the description of all the boys who turned into Vishnumurti forms, that is mentioned. Read.
Then, while Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clothes and to be dressed in yellow silken garments.
Tavat sarve vatsapalaha. All the vatsapalas, all the calves, all the vatsas, calves, and palas, their caretakers, the boys. So all of them, pashyato ajasya tat kshanat. So as Brahmaji is seeing, tat kshanat, immediately they got transformed. So vyadrishyanta, they were seen, ghanashyamaha, with complexion resembling bluish cloud, monsoon cloud. Pita kauseya vasasaha, they were dressed in yellow garments. They all became Vishnumurtis. Their forms are further described. Chaturbhujaha Shankha Chakra,
Chaturbhujaha Shankha Chakra,
Gada Rajiva Panayaha,
Gada Rajiva Panayaha,
Kiritina Kundalino,
Kiritina Kundalino,
Harino Avanamalinaha,
Harino Avanamalinaha,
Srivatsangada Doratna,
Srivatsangada Doratna,
Kambhu Kanaka Panayaha,
Kambhu
Kankana Panayaha, Nupuraha Katakair Bhutaha, Bhata Kati Sutranguli Yakaihi.
All those personalities had four arms holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads. earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kaustubha gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their wrists, with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred belts around their waist. They all appeared very beautiful.
So this is the physical form of all these Vishnu Murtis. You can see on the book, it's there. So all the Vishnu Murti forms had four arms, and all the characteristics that are resembling Vishnu. This proves that all the boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu. They are not merely associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu himself is included within Krishna. So they are all directly Vishnus. They are not devotees who attained Sarupi Mukti. They are not like that. They are directly Vishnus, Narayanas, all of them. All of them are Vishnumurti forms. So all these forms are included within Krishna, like that. So 49th verse.
Anghrimastakamapurna
Tulasi
Navadamabhi
Komalaih
Sarvagatreshu
Bhuri Punyavadarpita.
Every part of their bodies, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves, offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord by the greatest pious activities, namely hearing and chanting.
Okay. So, Angri Mastakam Apurunaha. So, Angri Mastakam means Angri is the lotus feet, right? Mastakam is head. From head to toe, they are decorated with Tulasi Navadamabhi, the garlands of fresh tulasi leaves. Right? It was fully decorated like that, very nicely. And komalaihi sarvagatreshu, all the limbs of his body are very komala, tender, soft and delicate. Right? Then bhuri punyavadarpitaha. So, bhuri punyavadarpitaha is a very important line here. Prabhupada comments on this particular line. He says that these forms of Vishnu were worshipped by those who have performed so many activities. Bhuri punyavad. Punya is performing pious activities. Bhuri punya means they have performed so many heaps of pious activities. So, bhuri punyavad arpitaha. Arpitaha means to offer. So, how did the Lord get all these decorations and tulsi garlands and flower garlands and other ornaments, etc.? His beloved devotees who have accumulated heaps of amounts of sukriti, they have offered them with love and affection and reverence. Right? Bhuri punyavat arpitaha. So, devotees love the Lord and they offer so many ornaments and tulsi garlands with great love and affection. Right? So, that's how Krishna gets all this. So, Krishna loves to be maintained and worshipped by his devotees. When a devotee with great love and affection, he brings some flowers and tulsi garlands and all these ornaments and offers to Krishna. So, Krishna relishes, right? So, all these gopas are also like that. Why Krishna was accepting this remnants of gopas, food from their lunch boxes, from their hands, from their mouths also? Because they were offered with great love and affection. And they also had the background of accumulating so many heaps of pious activities. And this is not ordinary material pious activities. They are heaps of activities that are pleasing to Krishna. Ittham satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam naradarakena syakam vijahru kritapunya punjaha. Prabhupada quotes that verse here. So, syakam vijahru kritapunya punjaha. Then, there are so many people who are engaged in self-realization, right? They want to merge in Brahman. They appreciate Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Brahma sukhanu bhutya, that is their aspiration. They can never play with Krishna. Second, dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. There are so many other regular devotees who are absorbed in their mood of being servant of Krishna, and they just worship Krishna in such a great reverential mood. You see, he is our worshipable Lord. They think like that and worship him. They also cannot play with Krishna. Third,
Mayashritanam naradarakena. Mayashritanam means one who is captivated by Lord's Maya, illusory potency. They think that naradarakena, he is another human child. How can they play with Krishna? They also cannot play with Krishna. All these three categories, whether you are a karmi who is just completely captivated by Lord's Maya, whether you are a jnani who is aspiring for, you know, impersonal Brahman, or whether you are a regular bhakta who worship the Lord with awe and reverence, you cannot play with Krishna. But all the gopas are above this level, above all these three levels. Shakam vijahruhu krita punya punjaha. They have accumulated heaps of pious activities, means they have done unlimited activities that are very pleasing to Krishna, to be able to play with Krishna, to be able to eat with Krishna, to eat Krishna's remnants directly. Krishna eats and then directly gives. Take this. Right? Some boys would say that, I have not brought my lunch box today. As we discussed earlier, not all of them are coming from very wealthy backgrounds. Right? Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is the son of the king of Vrindavan. But all others are not sons of kings or ministers. They are like ordinary boys also, right? So their lunchbox is not very opulent, or they may not even carry a lunchbox also. They may eat in the morning and then come there, and in the evening they may go. We don't know. So some boys said, we didn't get the lunchbox. Maybe they have forgotten, right? Two meals. Two-meal system may not be three-meal system. So, Krishna provides meals to all of them directly, right? So, Krishna will provide meals to everybody who is dependent on Him. But this direct contact, directly feeding with His own hand, putting His hand in their mouths and putting their hands in His mouth, so it's like unimaginable. This kind of reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan is unimaginable. So these people are not ordinary boys. That Prabhupada says here, quotes that here. That requires so much of bhuri punyavad arpitaha. So Prabhupada also quotes that in Krishna Balaram temple there is a tamala tree. Earlier it was neglected, now it is growing so nicely. This is bhuri punya. So next, another beautiful verse comes. This 50th verse seems to be one of the favorite verses of Gauranga Prabhu. So, we had one retreat called Amrita Mahotsav, I think 6-7 years back, when I was in VT or BT. I think I was in BT. So, he told to keep this as the invocation verse for the brochure that I was making. So, what was that? Well, let's discuss the whole thing and then appreciate the verse. Chandrika Vishadasmerai.
Chandrika Vishadasmerai.
Sarunapanga vikshitaihi.
Sarunapanga vikshitaihi.
Svakarthanam iva rajaha.
Svakarthanam iva rajaha.
Sattvabhyam srishtupalakaha.
Sattvabhyam srishtupalakaha.
Chandrika vishadasmerehi.
Chandrika vishadasmerehi.
Sarunapanga vikshitaihi.
Sarunapanga vikshitaihi.
Svakarthanam iva rajaha.
Svakarthanam iva rajaha.
Sattvabhyam srishtupalakaha.
Sattvabhyam srishtupalakaha.
Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resemble the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the mode of passion and goodness.
Chandrika Vishadasmerai. By pure smiling like the full increasing moonlight. Chandrika Vishadasmerai. The moonlight is emanating such pleasant smiles that are pleasing the hearts of onlookers. Saruna apanga vikshitaihi. Sa aruna apanga vikshitaihi. By clear glances of their reddish eyes. This is a description of all these Vishnumurti forms. How pleasant are their forms? So you can see here, they are so pleasant. So that is described here. Chandrika vishadasmerehi saruna apanga vikshitaihi. So next two lines are very sensational. Svakarthanam iva rajaha. Svakarthana means, svaka means devotees, their own devotees. Arthana means their purposes, their aims or ambitions or their desires. Svakarthana means the desires of their own devotees. Eva, and what the desires are compared like this, just as Rajah Sattvabhyam, by the modes of passion and goodness. Rajah is passion, Sattva is goodness. So somebody desires out of his passion or goodness. But in the spiritual circles, this word Raja does not mean passion. This Raja means affection. So devotee desires to render some service to Krishna out of affection. And here devotee can desire to render service to Krishna out of passion also. That's where Raja word is used. So we may passionately do some project and then offer it to Krishna, right? Engage your passion. It's a very positive way of saying it also, not mode of passion. So they may engage their passion. But here Prabhupada very clearly says that passion is not passion, it's affection. Rajah means affection, not passion. So as if by modes of passion and goodness. That's why the word as if is used. Iva Rajah Sattvabhyam. Iva. It's not actually Raja that we understand, material mode of goodness. Or not even material mode of goodness or passion also. It is Iva. It seems like material mode of passion and ignorance. Devotees desire sometimes. But their desires are very glorious. And they are there to just emanate that pleasing ambience through their pleasant smiles, moon-like faces and compassion-filled glances to fulfill all the desires of devotees. When a devotee sincerely desires to render service to Krishna, it becomes Krishna's responsibility to fulfill the desire of the devotee. Krishna takes it as his project. My devotee desired like this. It's my project to somehow make it happen. Right? Chindrika Vishadasmirahi. Sattvabhyam Srishtu Palakaihi. Srishtur Palakaihi. Srishtu means what? Someone who does Srishti. Creator. Palaka means what? Someone who does Palan. Who is that? Protector. Maintainer. So Krishna is the creator. Krishna is the protector. Right? So all the Vishnu forms by their pure smiling that resemble the light of moon and by sidelong glances and the reddish eyes created and protected what? The desires of devotees. So Chandrika Vishadasmairahi Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshita is a description of their physical appearance. But what is their activity? To protect, to create and protect spiritual desires in the hearts of devotees. That might resemble sometimes mode of goodness and passion. Very important verse to meditate on. So this verse Prabhu quoted way behind, somewhere in 2010 or 11, 2010 we were in BT, 9 we were in BT. I think 2009 towards the end, I think we came here with a retreat with our Gaur Sharan Prabhu's batch. I was told to conduct some quiz and other things for them. Prabhuji was presenting, celebrating other success. So we had treasure hunt for them. So I came alone. Alone means not with my batchmates. I came with this batch. Our Amit, our Anant Raghav Prabhu and all of them were there. So at that time in the brochure we mentioned this verse. So that was my first introduction to this verse. At that time I didn't read 10th canto, even first canto. Maybe first canto I started. So here, those Vishnu forms blessed the devotees with their clear glances and smiles which resembled the increasingly full moonlight. Shreyaha Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. So when Krishna, what to speak of smiles of Krishna, even the effulgence emanating from the toenails of Krishna is also compared to moonshine. Very pleasant. Moonshine is very pleasant. So seeing the moon's effulgence and seeing the stars and shine in the night, it's a very pleasant thing. It's very pleasant. Sunshine is definitely, right, it can illuminate more, but here is the description is not about the magnitude to which the light can illuminate. This description is about the pleasantness, the pleasure that it creates in the mind. So that's why moonshine is mentioned here. The moon is less powerful. They could have compared Lord's faces with sun. No, you see the context also. See the way in which it is compared also. All these analogies are also not given randomly. They have a lot of thought moonshine, Chindrika Vishadasmairaihi. Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshitaihi. Very clear glances, reddish eyes. So Swakarthanam Ivarajaha. Now, as maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. Their smiles resembled mode of goodness, protecting the desires of devotees, and the glancing of their eyes resembled mode of passion. So smile, goodness, resembled goodness, and glance resembled passion, right? But passion is basically affection, because Krishna's glance is always accompanied with smile and affection. Did you remember that? Mukhena lokarti, not that verse. That also is there. Mukhena lokarti harasmitena parisphurat kundala manditena shonayitena dharabhimba bhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhrava. Mukhena loka arti harayana. Just by that beautiful smile in his mukha, loka arti hara, he can completely vanquish the distress of entire creation. Loka arti harasmitena parisphurat kundala manditena. That face is resplendent with beautiful earrings. Shonayitena adharabhimba bhasa. And he is acknowledging the service of his devotees by his sweet smile. That is the remuneration that Krishna gives to the hard work and hard labor that the devotees have done to please him. Right? That should be the only aspiration of a devotee. I should be seeing smile on Krishna's face. That's why I am working so hard. Any other aspiration, if I work hard, if I do this service, I get this incentive, then that is not coming under the category of ahaituki apratihata bhakti, right? The only aspiration is to see smile. Now they are smiling with affection. So that is one verse, and there are other verses also. Hasam hare ravana takhila, and there is another verse. Tasyava lokam adhikam karpayati ghora tapat trayopa shamanaya nisrishtam akshnohu. This comes in that Kapildeva section only. Tasyava lokam, his avaloka, his glance, kripaya, it is filled with compassion. Ati ghora tapatraya upashama. Ati ghora means very fierce, threefold miseries, upashama. That will be mitigated, that will be pacified if one comes in contact with the smile of, with smiling glance of the Lord. Because glances are always accompanied with affection. That's why the word raja in this verse has to be taken as affection and not material mode of passion. It resembles raja, but it is not raja. So we need Acharya's purports. Otherwise we will think, aray, raja hai kya, bewilder ho jayega. With keeping purport aside, we just read the verse only. Oh, Lord's smile is goodness, and Lord's affection is, Lord's glance is passion, like that. So Acharya's give very brilliant insights to these verses and right interpretation to these words, because they are so close to Krishna, they can bring out these meanings. Right? I understand you when I know you. When you speak some word, when you speak just one sentence, it's not just the literal meaning that I need to take. I know you, I know your personality, and if I know your intentions, if I already have a contact with you, if I have been associating with you for a long time, that one sentence is not a literal sentence that is understood by any literary person who just comes in and then just hears that sentence. I can understand a lot of background to it if I have a relation with you. Similarly, acharyas have a lot of relationship with Krishna. They can give the right interpretations. Right? Rajaha and Sattva. In one verse in Trinavarta episode, Rajaha, Tamaha. So these two words come again. So Trinavarta has created lot of Tama in Vrindavan through Raja. So there Raja means the dust raised by the whirlwind. Tama is the darkness created in that Vrindavan. When the dust is rising, everybody's eyes are getting blinded and they are unable to see anyone close, and as the whirlwind is becoming more fierce, they are unable to see anyone even closely standing. They are unable to see themselves also. What to speak of others? So like that, because of, through this Raja, he created Tama. Right? So nobody could see Krishna. Their acharyas give this explanation that if one is so overwhelmed with these modes of material, modes of passion and ignorance, they cannot see Krishna. There, that Raja and Tama, which is used to describe dust and darkness, is used as material mode of passion and ignorance to give another meaning. Probably Sukadeva Goswami was also intending that meaning only. If there is Raja and Tama, you cannot see Krishna. Simple. Right? Vrajavasis could not see Krishna because of the Raja dust and Tama darkness. But we cannot see Krishna if there is because of Raja passion and Tama ignorance. Like that. So here, Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph. The word svakarthanam refers to great desires. So the glance of Lord Vishnu creates desires of the devotees. So when someone glances, that creates desires. Eye to eye contact creates some kind of desire. When the glance is from Krishna, there is some kind of spiritual desire. So a pure devotee, when we take darshan, some kind of desires come. Right? Technically here. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami comments that because the desires of devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. So, technically, when a devotee desires, if he is a very advanced devotee, just like whatever Lord desires is fulfilled. He is Atmaram, he is Aptakam, he has this Satya Sankalpa Shakti. As soon as he does some Sankalpa, it has to become Satya. He has Satya Sankalpa Shakti, right? And he, because of that, pure devotees who are so devoted to the Lord also are having this Satya Sankalpa, right? So they also, their desires also are supposed to be fulfilled by dint of the Lord. So as soon as they come in contact with the Lord, they develop desires. So this is what I need to offer to the Lord. Madhavendra Puri Sada took darshan of Gopinath, and then he also understood that he is being offered this Amrit Keli. Immediately desire came in his heart. I need to taste that Amrit Keli so that I can make this offering there also. Right? So Lord had to fulfill that desire. That is Satya Sankalpa Shakti. So the darshan of the Lord creates desires. We may not have be experiencing all this. We may get some other kind of desires. Maybe the dressers may get desire that I have to dress like this in a on a different day. But here, the spiritual desires, more very advanced devotees, they get spiritual desires when they see the Lord. Coming in contact with the glances of the Lord means development of spiritual desires. And it becomes Krishna's responsibility. Because his glance only created desire in him. And it is his responsibility to fulfill that desire also. So, in the material world, desire is a product of Rajogun and Tamogun. But desire in the spiritual world gives rise to the variety of everlasting transcendental service. Right? So, this is the effect of sincere desires of devotees. So, this is the thing that is quoted. In Vrindavan, there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired. Let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. This paragraph Prabhupada spoke towards the end of this chapter when he was about to die, when he was about to leave this mortal world. Such are the desires of a devotee. Prabhupada can show a cane, there should be a temple there. It will manifest. May not be immediately, after some time. May not be through one person, it could be through some other person. But when a devotee desires, it becomes Krishna's responsibility to fulfill that. And when we got that Scotch award, again Gauranga Prabhu said, bring your tab. Right? Open this verse. Then I opened and gave him. He read this whole verse and translation and purport. And especially the last paragraph. Scotch. Now we are getting award every now and then. At that time it was a big thing. That was like one of the first awards. And there was a big meeting there. Now Nimayala Prabhu, every now and then he goes and gets some award. But when we got first Scotch award, it was in 2013 or 14? 13. So at that time, there was a big meeting. And Gauranga Prabhu read this again. So here, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj desired that all this should happen through Mahabhagavatam and many other devotees, Anupam Gauranga Prabhu. So things are manifesting. So that's why, like, we may feel that, oh, Krishna's glances will create spiritual desires. I may not have so much experience like that. So one may think like that. But at our stage, as sadhakas, we may not have so many spiritual desires. Maybe we have some, but they may not be very, they may be infant desires. They may not be young desires, right? They are just born. The newborn baby, it doesn't have much strength in it. But young man has a strength, right? So our desires may be also very weak and feeble. So today we may desire like that and tomorrow desire will change, right? Today we'll go and pray for something and tomorrow the prayer will change also. Yesterday I felt like that, but I think it's not a good idea. Okay, let me pray for something else. So all this will happen. But at our stage, when we don't even know what to desire properly, when there is a gap between where we stand and where what we have to ideally aspire for, etc., the best way of engaging our energies is to assist in the fulfillment of pure devotees' desires. At the stage of a struggling sadhaka, most desires are material only. Very rarely some spiritual desire, some trace of spiritual desire may just surface the mind. Otherwise, most of them are material desires only, right? Even within spiritual circles. I don't know if you have an experience, I'm telling about myself. So, these material desires are like ripples on river that will never stop. When will they stop? When the river meets the ocean and the oceanic tides overwhelm the insignificant ripples on the river, then they will become like insignificant, they will go into the background and the oceanic tides will take over. Similarly, when we don't have the ability to desire, on a heavy spiritual plane, high spiritual plane, right? We don't have very exalted spiritual desires. We have only material desires, or prominently we have only material desires. Better assist in the fulfillment of the desires of pure devotees. That way, we can vanquish our material desires also, and we can cultivate spiritual desires also. If we assist a pure devotee in the fulfillment of his desires, in his service to Krishna, in his plans to serve Krishna, then that's the actual way of cultivating spiritual desires. That's the actual way of training ourselves to desire on a spiritual plane and forgetting our material desires. So that's the way. So sadhaka means he should be dedicated in fulfilling the plans of senior Vaishnavas. Then trying to make independent plans of service without the sanction and blessings of great souls, like that. So this is a very important verse. 51st verse.
Atmadistambhaparyantair Murtimadbhischaracharaihi Nrityagita janekarhai Prithak prithak upashitaha.
All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnumurtis according to their respective capacities, with various means of worship such as dancing and singing.
Atmadistambha paryantair, from Lord Brahma to insignificant living entity, Murtimadbhi, assuming some form, Characharaihi, whether they are moving or non-moving, Nritya Gita Adi Aneka Arhaihi, various means of worship. It could be dance, it could be singing, it could be any other worshipping, right? Nritya Gita Adi Aneka Arhaihi. There are different ways of worship. All of them are worshipping. All these Vishnumurti forms. Prithak Prithaha means differently, according to their own capacities. So that is the point here. Not everybody will be able to render similar kind of service. Every person is unique. So he has a unique mood of rendering service. He has a unique skill set to render service that has to be respected. And Guru's responsibility is to identify that specific talent of a disciple and engage him in a service through which he can advance and come closer to Krishna. Like that. So even to identify one's own nature and talent means for what service is he suitable, that may take some time, that may take a while for the person who is overseeing him also. But ultimately everybody is an individual he has a unique capability and capacity to render some service, right? That has to be respected. Individuality has to be respected, right? Not everybody can do everything. So we cannot have stereotyped ideas that everybody should be doing the same thing. So we need to respect the individual capabilities of people and acknowledge them. But point is, everybody should be doing some service, right? So therefore, the Mahabhagavata, the topmost devotee, sees everyone as being engaged in service of the Lord Krishna. Only himself, he sees, he's not engaged, right? That is Mahabhagavata devotee. We have to elevate ourselves from a lower position to higher position, and the topmost position is that of direct service in Vrindavan. Denial of service is Maya. If one is whimsical and then says, I will not do service which is given to me by my spiritual master, then that is Maya. Denial of service is Maya. So Prabhupada writes in one purport in third canto that the service attitude is the swarupa of living entity. Swarupa, the original, in the original form of the living entity, he has unlimited service attitude. He wants to render service. This is what pleases my master, let me do that service. That is the attitude. So service is different, service attitude is different. So one has attitude to render any kind of service, but one may not have the ability or facility to render service. But one, if one has the attitude to render service, then the ability is bestowed upon him, and facility is bestowed upon him, and the magnitude will automatically follow. So what is more important is attitude than the magnitude. So magnitude of service is a byproduct of one's attitude of service. Right? So the jiva swarupa, jivera swarupa hai krishnera nityadas. In that context only Prabhupada writes this. The wealth or the swarupa of every living entity is service attitude. So ekali ishvara krishna arasava bhritya. Everybody is a bhritya, servant of Krishna. Yare yaiche nachaya sei taiche kare nritya. Only Krishna is the supreme master and all others are his servants. As Krishna desires, everyone dances according to his tune. His tune. So at one level, one needs to engage his natural inclination in Krishna's service. At another level, everyone engages in service of Krishna as Krishna wants him to engage. So at one level, my ability and my capacity are more important. At a more advanced level, Krishna's desires are more important than my capacities, my abilities, my inclinations, my interests, etc. Like that. So Varnashram means what? In Ramananda Rai Samvad, that comes. Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya are discussing, right, in the 8th chapter. In that context, Prabhupada writes, Varnashrama means to do what I want to do what I like to do. Means everybody engages in some activity as per his natural inclination and his ability. Inclination and ability are prominent there. But that's why Mahaprabhu said it's wonderful. He didn't say it's wonderful also. He said eho bahya. Right? But at least one should begin there also. At least one should be able to do some service to Krishna as per his ability and inclination. At least that much is there. However, advanced stage is, Prabhupada writes, if one is doing what he wants to do only, then where is the question of his surrender? And if one is doing what he is able to do only, then where is the question of dependence on Krishna? Right? If one is, once Mahabhagavata was making this beautiful point in your regular Bhagavatam class, quoting Maharaj, right? So, if one is doing what he wants to do, I like to do this, I will do this only. Then that is, there is no surrender, right? There is no extending oneself to do something what the Lord wants, right? Second is, one is overwhelmed, I can't do this, I can't do this. That means there is no dependence on Krishna. There is no, in this context only you are saying that. If I say, I can't do this, that means you are thinking you are doer. It is Krishna who is doing through me. If I depend on him, it will happen. Right? So let me start. Krishna will give me the necessary. If Krishna wants it, it will happen through me. So in that mood of dependence, with a lot of uncertainty, right? The authorities may say, go ahead, aage kuch rasta dikhne rahe, give it where, go ahead, do this. But still, rasta dikhega. So after some time, things will manifest, right? So one cannot act on that level overnight, but one should have an inclination to develop that kind of mood, slowly, gradually increase one's capacity, like that. So Prabhupada writes, one receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways. But when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. So, as a flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty, the fulfillment, ultimate fulfillment of desire. So, we may have so many desires at this point, but actually, because of being in a conditioned world, we actually don't know what is our desire only. There is only confusion. In a conditioned soul's mind, there is a lot of confusion. There is a lot of bewilderment. There is no clarity there. Although one may think that I have this desire to service, but if you actually scratch him, there is some kind of something is there, some confusion is there. There is no clarity in the desire also, right? So as the layers of false ego are just slowly getting removed by dovetailing our desires to fulfill the desires of superior Vaishnavas, then the layers of false ego just start going out. The layers of ignorance will go out. False ego is basically ignorance only. So they will start going out. Then actual real purity will manifest. And in that pure state, if one desires, in that pure Krishna consciousness, if one desires, you can say that these are the real desires. For that devotional service, we need to perform devotional service for a long time. Dheyam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham tirthaspadam shiva virinchi nutam sharanyam. Then Bhrityartiham Pranatapala Bhavabdhipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Dheyam Sada, if one constantly meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meditates on His lotus feet, these are the effects. So this comes in the 11th canto. Paribhavaghnam, the material world, the material nature is constantly humiliating us, completely embarrassing us. Parabhav, parabhavastavadabodhajato yavanna jignasata atmatattvam. There is a parabhav. To be in this material world and this material body and suffer the material pangs and material miseries is such a defeated state of existence that we are all in that existence. Parabhava. So, paribhava ghanam. Lord's lotus feet will completely vanquish that defeated existence. Then what else it will do? Dheyam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham. Abhishta doha means Lord's lotus feet will fulfill your real desire. What is the real desire? Ultimate. That's what I was trying to tell now. If this whole thing is about desire, right? This whole theme is about desire. Our real desire we don't know at this point. We technically know that we should have a desire to render service to Krishna. But that theoretical understanding does not completely manifest in our actions, in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our emotions, because it's only theoretical understanding. We have not assimilated it. We have not absorbed it in our existence completely. We know we have to render service to Krishna. But really, what is the response from within when the actual service comes? Right? So what is the actual response of my heart? One may get excited also. What is the actual mood behind that excitement? Am I looking for some kind of sense gratification in rendering that service? My excitement to do that service also is accompanied with some desire to gratify my senses. Some desire for names, fame, prestige. Right? Some desire to impress people of this world. So because of these desires, our actual abhishta is not completely manifest. That's what Prabhupada is saying in this last paragraph. As a flower bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, So when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of the real form comes into full blossom. A bird is there, a small bird. So inside that there are so many petals hidden, so much fragrance hidden, but it is totally closed. So its real beauty and real flavor, real fragrance and real form is not completely manifest. We are all like closed like that. Right? So in an immature way, we think that whatever I desire is actually spiritual. After all, I am rendering service to Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. But inside that, there are so many other material desires which we are also unable to recognize many times. Right? So that needs honest introspection. Honest contemplation is needed. Regular consulting some superior Vaishnava or even some equals also, who can help us contemplate and introspect and dig our thoughts. So that is needed. Right? So, abhishta doham, when we regularly meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, when we regularly take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, when we continue to render service, Krishna will actually give us that abhishta. The original abhishta is revealed to us and actually fulfilled also. Abhishta means desire. Abhishta doham. 52nd verse. अणिमाद्यैर महिमाद्भिर अजाद्याभिर विभूतिभिः चतुर्विंशतिभिस्तत्त्वैः परीता महदादिभिः.
All the Vishnumurtis were surrounded by the opulences, headed by Anima Siddhi, by the mystic potencies, headed by Aja, and by the 24 elements for the creation of the material world, headed by the Mahat Tattva.
So all these elements and opulences, in some forms, they have assumed some forms. Just like in the beginning of creation, all the elements are there, 23 elements are there. They started offering prayers. How can elements, how exactly this element earth looks like at that point? Now we see all elements are mixed with each other. Our body is a combination of earth, water, fire, air, ether. But in the beginning of creation, when the universal shell itself is not formed, all the 23 elements are existing separately. Earth is element is not mixed with any of the other elements, it's separate. Fire element is separate. Ether element is separate. Everything is separate. And all these elements personified, they are offering prayers to the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord, all these elements have developed forms spontaneously, and they have developed knowledge also to be able to offer prayers to the Lord. Right? Similarly, we see this Mahadadibhihi, all this Chaturvimshati Tattvaha. So Chaturvimshati is 24 in number. All these 24 Tattvas, elements, they started offering worship to the Lord. So Godhead can do whatever he likes. No one can command him, but he can command everyone. So all these people are offering prayers. So Prabhupada enumerates them in the purport again. Next, 53rd. See, 24 elements mentioned are 5 working senses, pancha karma indriya, the 5 senses for obtaining knowledge, pancha jnana indriya. Prabhupada was lying on deathbed and dictating all these purports. Even after memorizing all this and writing so many exams and going through chats, etc., what are the 24 elements? If you ask you now, immediately, it may not click immediately. One may say, one may pause a moment and then say something, and maybe one or two elements he may miss also. Right? But Prabhupada was lying on deathbed and then he's translating all these purports. He's giving these purports. It's like we are towards the end of the chapter. So this is 64 verses are there in this chapter. Now we are in 52nd verse. This is the 12th last verse that Prabhupada is translating. Prabhupada knows, Prabhupada remembers all the 24 elements. He enumerates. He felt the need to enumerate them. What are these 24 in the purport? Right? So, 53rd verse.
Kala Swabhava Samskara
Kala Swabhava Samskara
Kama Karma Gunadibhi
Kama Karma Gunadibhi
Swamahidhasta Mahibhir Murti Madhbhir Upasitaha.
Then Lord Brahma saw that Kala, the time factor, Swabhava, one's own nature by association, Samskara, reformation, Kama, desire, karma, fruitive activity, and the gunas, the three modes of material nature, their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord, had all taken forms and were also worshipping those Vishnumurtis.
So six things are there. Kala, karma, kama, swabhava, samskara, guna. Adibhi, there are other things also. So mainly these six elements are mentioned in the first two lines. They are the causes of material entanglement. And Prabhupada, in this purport, he explains a little bit about all these things, about all the six causes of material entanglement, and he gives the solution. What is the solution? Association of devotees. That is the theme of this long purport. It's like 2.5-3 pages purport. So the theme is this. Solution is devotee association, and problem discussion is there. No one but Vishnu has any independence. These are all axiom, very memorable statements. No one but Vishnu has any independence. Nobody is independent here. We don't have independence. Although India is declared as independent, but the Indians are not yet independent. Not only Indians, Americans also, British people also, whoever, Pakistanis also, everybody is may be thinking that we are independent country, but no, at an individual level, there is nobody who is independent except Vishnu. So Prabhupada makes that statement. If we develop consciousness of this fact, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. I am not independent. Now, it's easy to understand intellectually. And it's so easy, it's even much easier to forget it also after the class. Right? I will also forget. I will speak it in mic. It will be recorded also, but I may forget after the class also. No one is independent except Vishnu. And if we develop this consciousness, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. Right? So we should always remember that Krishna is the only Supreme Master. And Prabhupada elaborates that. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Bhritya. Bhritya means servant. Servant means dependent on master. Who is the master? Krishna. Who else is the master? No one else. Everybody is servant except Krishna. He is independent, others are dependent. Simple. As long as you are a servant, you are dependent on Krishna, on the master. So, yare aiche nachaya se taiche karinritya. So, Prabhupada writes this, quotes this verse in the 51st purport also, Ekala Ishvara Krishna. See, 51st purport, 53rd purport, back to back. Then, yastu narayanam devam brahmarudradi devata samatvenaika vikshetha sa pashandi bhavedhruvam. So, someone will say, why you are saying only Vishnu is independent? Demigods are also independent. They are also as good as Vishnu. No, that is pashandi. You can't equate Vishnu with demigods. Right? Now, Prabhupada, from the next paragraph, he elaborates. Kala is the time factor that has many assistants, such as Swabhava, Samskara, Kama, Karma, Guna, etc. Swabhava is one's acquired nature. According to, how will one acquire nature? Due to association of modes. So there are modes, gunas. Due to association of modes, one acquires Swabhava. And these modes are instigated by Kala. Right? And because of that Kala and Guna and Swabhava, living entities engaged in so many activities, he creates karma. So, Kala, Karma, Guna, and because of that engagement in so many activities, they create so many habits. That is called Samskara. And they create so many desires. That is called Kama. So, this is the interrelation between all the six elements. The time factor instigates modes. And due to association of modes, there are so many, there is so much Swabhava and Karma and Kama that the living entity acquires. They create samskaras, right? So that is the discussion here. So, sat and asat swabhava. Swabhava is of two categories, higher and lower. If we associate with lower modes, then there is lower swabhava. If we associate with higher modes, better modes, mode of goodness, there is better swabhava. So, our aim in human life especially is, we should gradually come to the sattva guna, so that we may avoid two lower gunas. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's qualities and activities. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. If one regularly hears Srimad Bhagavatam and studies Srimad Bhagavatam and discusses Srimad Bhagavatam and also serve Bhagavatas who have assimilated the teachings of Bhagavatam, who are living by the teachings of Bhagavatam, then what will happen? One will come out of the influence of lower modes. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobadhayascheye cheta etair anavidham sthitam sattve prasidati. The lower modes will vanquish and one will be established in the higher mode. For that, this nityam bhagavata sevaya is needed. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. We are all looking for our devotional service. In this struggling sadhaka stage is not very stable, not very steady. We are all looking for steadiness. So regular Bhagavatam study will induce that steadiness. S-T-U-D-Y, S-T-E-A-D-Y. Right? So that's why Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki, the word Naishtiki is used. Naishtiki means steady bhakti. Right? So if the bhakti is not steady, study Srimad Bhagavatam to make it steady. Like that. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Next. Tamogana and Rajogana increase lust and greed. Tada Rajastama Bhava Kama Lobhadayasthi. Kama is lust, Lobha is greed. Because of Raja and Tama, there is Kama and Lobha. That's what Prabhupada is quoting here. He quoted verse number also, 1:2:19. And because of this lust and greed, living entities are implicated. Right? That implicated living entity in such a way that he must exist in the material world in many, many life forms. Many, many forms like that. So Prabhupada, just before going to the spiritual world, he is giving all these points. Oh, you are all induced in, you are all implicated in this material world. You also come with me. So now, just before leaving the body also, there was a rigorous philosophical discussion between Krishna, between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. So Bhagavatam did not end at 10th canto. After 10th canto, 11th canto he began. How technical is 11th canto? So Sukadeva Goswami was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj probably on the 6th or 7th day. He says, tomorrow he is going today, and today he is discussing Nimi Navayogendra Samvad, which is highly technical. And Uddhava Gita, 23 chapters of philosophical discussion, is super technical. And then 12th canto, 4 kinds of Nirodha and Kali Yuga kings, 4 kinds of Pralaya, Atyantika Pralaya, Naimittika Pralaya, Nitya Pralaya, and Prakritika Pralaya. All these Pralayas he was discussing, and Jnana. So philosophical discussion is relevant at all stages of life. So one cannot artificially say that I will just discuss only Radha Krishna Leelas, etc. Right? I will discuss only 10th canto sweet pastimes of Krishna. That is definitely nourishing. But even in Brahma Vimohan Leela, even when this kind of activity is going on, Prabhupada is commenting on this on his deathbed. So Prabhupada is writing all this Kala, Karma, Guna, Rajoguna, Tamoguna. So all this he is explaining. He is taking endeavor to do all that. Even Rishabhadev also, when he was retiring, before taking into this avadhut vesh, what he was saying, Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke, then pumsam striya mithuni bhavametam tayo mitha hrataya granthimahu. So he gives a lot of philosophy and detachment from this material world and the problems in the material world, right utility of human life, coming out of modes. All this discussion was there just before retirement, Rishabhadev. Kapila, before retiring, he was speaking about Sankhya. He was speaking about all the Ashtanga Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, and then finally says you should perform Bhakti Yoga. And what is there in the end of teachings of Lord Kapila? Samsriti, the transmigration of living entity, the birth and death of living entity. That was the conclusion of Kapila's teachings, right? Towards the end, or the last question asked by Mother Devahuti. So this philosophical discussion we cannot avoid, however advanced one may be. Out of his compassion, he presents that philosophical discussion, right, even on the deathbed also. Even Parikshit Maharaj, before retiring, he was hearing all that. So we cannot neglect these topics and then, okay, let's discuss only Vraja Katha, Vrindavan Katha, right. It's like, this is also Krishna Katha. This is very much needed. Because we are in the material world, we need to discuss about the material world so that we develop an impetus to come out of this material world. Right? Along with spiritual world discussion also. The opportunity for this purification is the special feature of human life. Next. So all this happens because of the association. Prabhupada writes in the second page of the purport, 59th. I think we should end now. With this purport we will end. 1 minute. See, the members of Krishna consciousness movement, for example, being engaged in Vasudeva Bhakti, very quickly came to the stage of being nice Vaishnavas. So much so that people are surprised that Mnechas and Yavanas are also coming to the stage. So all this happens by Bhakta Sanevas. Sangha Sanjayate Kama. If one is in the association of great devotees, then because of the whole association and the excitement created in the association, and because of even peer pressure also, one is induced to come to mode of goodness. Right? One is programmed to get up early in the morning and then do so many other activities, sadhana activities. Prabhupada writes all of that. Good habits. Samskara. Samskara is reformation. This is possible by good association. For by good association, one develops good habits. And habit becomes second nature. That's why Bhakta Sanevasa is needed. If one associates with bad people, then bad samskaras are created. If one associates with good people, then good samskaras are created. Good habits are created. And those good habits will take us to the spiritual world also. Then kama and karma are there. A man is known for his company. If one has a chance to live in good association of devotees, one is able to cultivate knowledge, and naturally one's character or nature will change for one's eternal benefit. Eternal benefit. So we discussed up to 59th page. That is 53 verses. We have 11 more verses. We can complete tomorrow morning. Maybe in 1 hour. Thank you all very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.